Hello, this is Alan with a message before the start of this week's podcast. The DCEU podcast, as you may be aware, is a member of The Collective, a network of shows, one of which is Capes and Lunatics. Unfortunately, one of the presenters of Capes and Lunatics, Charlie Esser, recently passed away. On behalf of the podcast, we would like to extend our condolences to Charlie's friends and family. Also, there is a fundraiser being held for Charlie's funeral and ongoing expenses for his family, the link to which will be in the description of the podcast below. Thank you very much.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCEU podcast. This week we are covering Justice League Dark Apocalypse War.
Yeah, I have nothing to say before we get into it. Like, it's quite a departure.
I was excited for this before it came out because of the cover, because you had Constantine and Superman in what looked like to be a team up, and I'm like, sweet, because you never see those guys team up. And Raven's cool too, and it sounds that they're like the three main characters, so I was pretty happy.
I'm sensing a massive butt there. So
No butt.
So no, we are introduced before
you could at least call me by my name first.
Yeah,
before call me giant butt.
So we are joined by two very special guests, both of whom have appeared in the podcast before. So I've got to be honest, at this point I'm as well just inviting you to become a third host. Connor McKenna's joining us again.
Hello. I'm not coming on for your Legos and your superhero girls and your...
We're done with the Legos and we're almost done with the superhero girls.
Almost. Oh my god.
Superhero girls, you say?
It's aimed at like 5-year-olds, Chris. You wouldn't enjoy that. So
everybody's got their thing.
So
yeah, let's not go there.
So also joining us, my co-host on the Rise of the Robots podcast, Grizz. Almost called you by your real name there.
What are you talking about? Grizz is my real name.
So
yeah, well, there's robots in this, so yeah, it's very on-brand for me.
So, this film, Justice League Dark Apocalypse War, it is the 16th and final film of the DC AMU.
Right.
And they go swinging for the fences.
Yeah, I mean, they go out with a bang.
I mean, hell yeah. Like, yeah, there's a few misses, but, like, they don't play it safe, which I like, until a certain thing, which we'll talk about. But, yeah, it was kind of refreshing just to have, like, full stakes,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So...
And it was just neat.
Yeah.
We open up to John Constantine and Zatanna on the Watchtower, as the Justice League prepares to attack Apocalypse.
I mean, as you do.
We've
got nothing better to do.
We establish a bunch of stuff very early on. So Superman wants a preemptive attack. He's still a little bit raw about almost dying.
Well, he did die. So I don't know why they said he almost died. Because, like, he did actually die, so... He got impaled in the chest and
Chris has been impaled in the chest. He survived.
Yeah.
Did he have a funeral and did his heart stop? And
well, I just had the funeral to see if anyone would actually show up.
I did.
I know, but you were in on it.
So they mention at this point just a few quick things. So they mention the parademons and the parademons aren't a big issue. We have Lex Luthor already going, well, can't we just offer a deal? We have mention of Doomsday, who appeared in Death of Superman. We also have a mention of the Flashpoint, because the Flashpoint is actually the start of this universe. It's kind of fitting that it both starts and ends with overblown death fests.
I
prefer this film though.
This kind of felt a little less self-indulgent, but it was still very self-indulgent with the violence, but it was a bit, I don't know, like sometimes it was executed well, sometimes it was executed poorly, whereas I think with Flashpoint, it was like almost always executed, like just for the sake of, you know.
It was written by an edgy teenager.
Well, they're all kind of written by edgy teenagers. That's the problem. It's just, I think this one, I don't know, I felt like this one, the characters acted a bit more, I don't know, it had more characters and they were ones we hadn't seen before. Maybe that's what elevated it.
Yeah.
Well, another reason this one, I think, gets away with it a little bit more is because, you know, technically, John's our main character and this is called Justice League Dark. So this is, like, this isn't just a Flash movie where people are getting maimed horribly. It's like, well, you're going in to...
It's clearly more
Constantine's on the front. I mean, you know, Superman is
swearing,
too, but,
they're
like...
They're talking about sex. Me and Connor watched it together, and I was saying to him at the time, it's like, the violence, it wasn't as shocking to me because everyone was behaving more mature. Mature theme, film-wise, not mature in terms of them doing sensible things. So...
Yeah.
So, we don't immediately see the Battle of Apocalypse. What we hear is, oh, the parademons seem bigger. And then immediately cut to black. It's 2 years later and Earth is fubod.
Dying.
Yeah. Which, well, at least we managed to get this version of Earth in one of the Justice League franchises before it was cut off. And we open with John Constantine and Etrigan, who is the best thing in this film.
He's very good.
I did like him.
Yeah.
Drinking before they're joined by Raven and Superman.
Yeah. It's just kind of quite the disturbance in the force. Etrigan can't rhyme anymore.
He just doesn't feel like it anymore.
He's just too depressed to rhyme.
I mean, you gotta be in a certain mood to rhyme.
Yeah.
And
now's not
so,
one of
yeah.
those. Now's not one of those times.
Mm-hmm. That's how you know he's in a funk.
Yeah. And you can immediately tell how bad the situation is because Clark Kent is covered in green veins, and when his chest gets uncovered, so Darkseid tattooed in kryptonite the Superman logo.
He needed a pass fight.
I thought that was really cool how they, like, you know, Darkseid's sort of like final insult to Superman is to make him just a walking trophy of his failure and Darkseid's victory. Mm-hmm. I think that's a much cooler angle to go with than the old, oh, Darkseid brainwashed Superman to fight for Apocalypse.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's cool.
No, they just did that with a bunch of other people instead.
I thought that the Superman logo was actually like emblazoned on his chest, like, because this is like the first of like three instances where you see the Superman logo kind of come from his chest. And so I thought it was just like kind of built into him, for lack of a better word.
I mean, he's been wearing it that long; it is probably imprinted.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, that suit is pretty tight as well.
Don't they, like, brand it in with him in the flashback with, like, the kryptonite lasers?
Yeah.
Oh, it's brand not to do. But Iron Fist there.
Yeah. With the opposite effect.
Yeah, with the opposite effect, exactly.
So, the other thing that they've kind of been establishing this whole time is Raven, who is, again, the most powerful hero in the DC universe, and that they are acknowledging it, but she's actually spending half the film trying to keep Trigon contained.
Yeah. Well, I guess the argument there is that her, or is it her dad, that's, you know, responsible for the power in this case.
And also, it's because I think it's a wee bit of stunt casting for Trigon. No, it's not. It was in our previous film that it was John Bernthal. So I think it's John DiMaggio in this film. Okay, so it's not, because I know John Bernthal played him in the Teen Titans movie where he was the main
villain. That would have been cool again. But Vizzy Abbey was fine in this. I mean, he's always fine. It's a grouchy voice. Yeah. It doesn't take much. I'm sorry.
We do have Tony Todd as Darkseid, though, which is good.
I don't remember anything Darkseid said in this entire film. I can tell you that now. But I agree with you. I'm sure it's very cool. I liked all
the Darkseid.
All fine. But I don't remember much of any of them. Which means Darkseid they didn't jar me by being bad, at least.
He didn't say Omega Beams, which is a thumbs down. And he didn't say Darkseid is, which is another thumbs down. But I'm pretty sure he said Apocalypse, so that's fine.
Oh, I'm sure. I know he said stuff. I just don't remember what or when. Like, I remember other bits, but I don't really remember.
So just...
We're just grumbling about stuff.
Quickly, I got this on Blu-ray, so I have it physically, and I forgot to, but I was going to watch the special features in the commentary before we recorded, and the special feature they did have was a 15-minute featurette on Darkseid, and they had three episodes you could watch, so like two Justice League action episodes, which is a fun show, I actually really like it, and a Teen Titans episode called Nevermore. I'm assuming they're kind of linked to... Like, they have characters from the film, I'm assuming.
Well, it could be something to do with Trigon, the fact it's, well...
Yeah.
Nevermore very much invokes Raven, so...
And they also have the Adam Strange showcase as well.
Yeah,
so
we'll be covering next...
I did tell Connor we were going to cover that, so...
We are.
It's a pretty good bang.
Yeah, cool.
Because Blu-ray's not expensive, so...
How did I not notice that was Tony Todd? I'm a failure as a horror movie watcher.
To be fair, he only has about 10 lines.
I know who he is now. I'm fine. Like, I'm good.
It's
I don't
Candyman.
Know
if anyone
has voice, but
I haven't watched
any horror. Assume I've never watched horror. I have watched some, but just assume I've not watched any, and you'll be mostly right.
So, after fighting off some parademons and escaping to Big Ben, we get our first sequence of many people being mutilated scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So it turned out, because it actually in the intro it shows that Darkseid is watching the whole plan with using Cyborg, and he was ready for them. He has made hybrid parademon Doomsdays.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Which.
It was cool, but the name was stupid. Parademons.
The name was
I laughed
so
every time.
Stupid. Yeah, I laughed every time as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous naming.
It just makes it sound as if they're just demons that are really worried about everything.
Yeah. It's exactly what it feels like.
They're all militia.
Yeah.
And we see Green Lantern. So it's implied that Hal Jordan Green Lantern is killed. Flash is taken out. We find out he's not dead. Hawkman is de-winged. Aquaman is cut in half and is dead. Which, considering there was a whole film introducing him, okay.
That's what I pointed out to Rebecca. I'm like, Aquaman got his own movie and he just got, like, murked. And we have...
Like, so many of the other ones come back and Aquaman's just like, nah, sorry, bye.
We'd rather use Mira instead.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
And speaking of Mira and Wonder Woman get quite severely maimed, as does Shazam. He loses one of his legs. Martian Man...
Gets a really cool fake leg.
Yep.
Yeah.
He managed to get away, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shazam's the one of the few that gets away. It turns out Darkseid has plans for a number of the heroes... including capturing, torturing Batman in... Is it the Mobius chair?
Yeah.
Which is...
It's like the only reference to the new gods we get. Like the other new gods, the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
is that the chair that he's in throughout the rest of the film?
Yes.
Yeah. Although I think which is very intelligent, that Batman gets the cool ride, even if it is just the Mobius chair.
Is the Bat Mobius chair?
Because that's so what he does. He's useless, so he gets something to sit on.
What the Mobius chair does is it basically gives you all the knowledge. So that's why he plants. So this film is based on, from what I can tell, three comics primarily. Final Crisis by Grant Morrison, which is great, awesome, fantastic. I love it. Jeff Johns' Dark Side War, which is rubbish, crap. I hate every minute of it. One star, and that's where the Batman chair thing is from. And also Alan Moore's Twilight of the Gods pitch in relation to kind of Constantine's arc in this film, I believe. So we'll get into that, like, at the end. But, yeah.
The other important thing is one other person who got away was John Constantine, because after seeing Zatanna being attacked, he ran, though he has no idea like why he did, and it is very out of character for him.
Well, it's not that...
I don't think it's out of character.
I don't think it's that out of character for him. He's one of the things he's kind of done over and over again is not, I mean, always unwillingly or, you know, with some like hesitation, is he's the survivor, and if that means sacrificing friends, that means sacrificing friends.
Yeah, he generally won't. I mean, albeit I've only read two volumes now, but like he won't like sacrifice himself to save you unless it serves a greater purpose.
So he will sacrifice you to save
other people. And if you're super important and you need to be saved, that he will sacrifice himself. But like if his best friend or his girlfriend's getting torn apart by parademons, he's going to get out of there. And it turns out like it's not like that anyway. Tana, but
you know,
I can find another girlfriend.
Well, I think it's just more that's how his mind works on the sort of levels of what's the important, you know, sacrifices. Like, he's quite happy being... he's used to being miserable and mourning people.
Yeah.
So it's not so much, I can get another girlfriend, but it's like, it's better if I'm really sad and heartbroken than the world collapses or dead. Yeah.
So, Darkseid is using Batman as a sort of strategy expert...
His intelligence officer.
It's mentioned kind of in passing that, and it's kind of done almost as a kind of afterthought. Oh yeah, we're going to attack Oa, which is the Green Lantern planet.
Because they have to take it out because it's all powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to mention it because otherwise you're just not showing the Green Lanterns any respect. Like, Because those guys are, they're the juice. You know, once you get Superman and the magic guys out of the way, they're the big juice, so.
We also established Lois Lane still exists. She's actually the one coordinating everything, but I think she gets like maybe 5 minutes screen time tops.
To be fair, she doesn't really need
any more.
Yeah. She doesn't need any more than that. I mean, like, she's, we want to be with the superheroes, not with the civilians. And like, while she's important, I'm more interested in what the others are doing.
So
I definitely didn't want her in it more, that's for sure. I've got enough Lois Lane these days.
So Constantine is being the reason Constantine was recruited was to find Damian Wayne. So they find Damian Wayne at the League of Assassins, and the League of Assassins do try and take out the heroes.
Unsuccessfully.
Etrigan solos them, basically.
And the whole time, he is sitting, and he is bored. And he's like, oh, okay. You're trying to stab me.
I love him. Nice. He's so miserable.
Damian wants to kill Superman, but he's too busy dealing with Raven.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
And it becomes clear that, and they actually, they have a nice scene with this, where Raven and Damian, it's very clear that they are into each other, that Raven's was trying to keep away because Trigon is after him, and Damian has actually taken over the League of Assassins and it's not quite clear if he's preparing for an attack himself or what he's doing, but he's certainly building something.
Yeah, he's scheming.
It might just be all he knows how to do, but
we also see a flashback to indicate that Starfire Well, at first, it looks like Starfire's dead. Turns out, not quite. But we also see a number of others go down, including Kid Flash, Bumble, and we also see Nightwing die, though
yeah.
Damien does try to use the Lazarus pit.
I thought it was really sweet that that's the one that was his line. It's like, you can't take...
Yeah.
You can't take Nightwing. It's very tricky how to word this one. You can't take Nightwing away, and that's where he'll step in.
Yeah.
He said he was like his brother, so...
Yeah. And he was his Batman in the comics, and, you know, it's hard, and that's the person that causes him to do the... You've been told not to do it, but I can't possibly leave him to die.
Yeah.
So is he like a kind of zombie now or something?
The Lazarus Pit brings you back to life, but you're... More times than not, you will come out mad.
Yeah.
So is that a bit like Pet Cemetery in a way?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I've not seen that either. Are we...
I would have thought...
That one's even worse. That's a horror that involves animals. That's just bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have thought between the three, at least one of you could have confirmed that one of you have, so except for me.
So, yeah.
It's also the scene where we find out how Superman and Raven ended up together, which I thought was nice. It was one of my favourite scenes.
Yeah.
Where he comforts her after, everyone died.
Yeah, that was really, really nice of him, and you don't see them together very... I don't see them together very much.
Hmm.
And also,
I appreciated
that.
It's a good Superman scene, and it's that thing of, yes, Superman is meant to be the hero of hope. Zack Snyder.
But
I don't think he necessarily isn't in the Snyder things, but anyway, we won't talk about
that right now. The Snyder film literally turned the S into meaning hope, so that was Snyder that did that. But anyway, I like...
The S is just silent.
It's an interesting pairing, those two, because I think with the situation Raven's in, if Trigon's breaking out, I think Clark's probably a good person to have in her corner to help keep it under control. Yeah, it was neat.
Yeah.
It's a shame the film's not longer, because there's more stuff they could explore with various characters, but, it's good for what it was.
Yep. So, the next people that our ragtag band has to recruit is the Suicide Squad led by Harley Quinn.
Oh, God, this is good like my Lord. Heart just sank. I was like, I just do not need them, ever.
This is my biggest problem with the film.
No,
and you know why?
They were annoying. Oh, I know exactly why, because I watched it with
why?
You.
Right?
Well, because I kept going on about it.
Yeah.
why in the F is Harley leading a team with Bane in it? Bane, if we're doing anything that makes any remote sense, Bane is leading that squad, not Harley Quinn.
But then we would need to give Bane the voice. And also,
he's
Bane's
a tactician.
Not... Oh, no.
He's a genius.
I know. I'm not disagreeing with you. And yes, absolutely. If Bane had been in any way established in previous films or had,
but half of these characters haven't been established in previous films.
I would rather Bane not be in it, because every time I saw him not taking charge, because he's a leader, it would just drive me crazy. Like, he'd never take orders from Harley Quinn. Like, he just wouldn't do it. So
I mean, neither would anyone sensible.
Yeah.
Like, Bane is one of those characters that had such an awesome debut and just hasn't been good since.
Villain decay.
I wasn't even sure that was actually Bane, for the few scenes that I actually seen him in. And I was like, wait, isn't that that guy with the dumb voice from the Batman movies?
That's how we...
The best part is that could mean two different Batman movies.
That's true, too.
Well, Dark Knight or whatever one it was in.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen them yet, so I'm sorry.
The first two are worth it. The one with Bane in it isn't.
Embarrassing.
What a surprise.
So
I mean, it is, but put subtitles on.
Yeah. So we also have so the Suicide Squad is recruited by Lois beating Harley Quinn in a fight.
Whatever. Oh, I have things to say here. I have things to say. Okay. I'm raising my hand, teacher. So I love how, like, and this happens in the comics all the time. It's like, oh, I was an army brat, and then she does some like super soldier shit, and it's like, army brat doesn't make you hyper competent at everything.
In fact, that was crazy.
Unless you specifically train in it, the U.S. Army doesn't have good hand-to-hand combat because they train in guns and grenades instead. So it just makes me laugh whenever she turns into, like, Captain America after she's like, I was an army brat. So,
and, you know. And also, King Shark is a shark. And John's ex.
Yeah, that was funny. That did make me laugh. I know it was the thing that everyone knew about it beforehand, but I did chuckle. I mean, it's dumb and it's stupid and I don't really care, but it's better than
that's a fun
Harley
gag,
being her ex.
Though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's better than Harley being his ex.
Yeah. So, we also established that three Reapers, which are basically giant towers of doom and beaming, have appeared on Earth, and they are mining away the Earth's molten core. They are going to send two teams to attack these sites. Specifically, it's Batwing, Batwoman, and Batgirl, and one Shazam, Steel, and someone else on...
Superboy, right?
Superboy. Yeah, no, you're right. Superboy. So basically, minor Batman characters and minor Superman characters.
Surely, like, they were like, maybe the Bat family could use a superpowered guy there, and maybe
no.
get it, you know. Because, like, it's just Batwoman, Batgirl, and, you know, they all get slaughtered, I think, if I remember. So
yeah, they do.
Batwing. Oh, God, thank God Batwing lived, right?
No, Batwing, well, yeah.
I know, sorry, that was random.
So, but we don't have...
The Bat Dog was there.
He was, yeah. Ace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was neat.
They also...
Wait, there's an actual Bat Dog?
Yeah, Ace the Bat Dog.
Bat Hand!
There's a bat everything.
Is he a good boy, though?
Oh, he is, yes. He's the best.
Okay, good.
So,
I mean, he's not as good as Crypto, but he's a...
No one's as good as Crypto.
Right, so he's not the best boy. He's close.
He's the goodest boy, but he's not the bestest boy.
Right, right. I'm just, you know, I just have to stand up for Crypto here.
Oh,
can you imagine if there was, like, Crypto was in this and then he died horribly? Wait, Alan Moore already did that.
wait a minute, isn't Orchid and the house attacking in the North Sea as well? Or is that in China?
I have no idea.
Ah, but that was awesome, though.
Yeah.
Like, just the actual house attacking, that was great.
So it turns out, because they say, why aren't we attacking all three? We don't have enough guys. So Constantine hires Swamp Thing.
And Swamp Thing hates him.
It's such a good scene, though.
Oh, it is. It's
I wonder if they say that he hires Swamp Thing as much as antagonizes him.
And just goes, yeah, you think I'm bad? That's worse. Kill it.
Was he calling him, like, an overgrown salad? Mm. Well, that was funny.
So, also at this point, I do think they try to hint that Batman's... So Lois Lane mentions she has a sleeper agent. And it's like, right, it'll be one of two people, and they kind of hint that it's Batman here, I'm sure.
Except it's not.
It's not, but...
Yeah.
To be fair, it being Batman would have been more obvious. So the fact it's not, I think's good.
I think it's nice that... Like, it's just nice that Batman took a back seat for once.
Yeah.
I really like that, yeah. It just gives a chance to be with the other characters. Like, joking aside, obviously I enjoy watching Batman do his thing. But it was nice to watch the other characters and have other people there in that kind of grumpy dark role.
And considering this is such large scale as well, like, I always find it weird if Batman's fighting, you know, Darkseid and stuff. But he still had, I think, enough of a role not to, like, it was more of an emotional role than, like, I beat everything up role, you know, so.
So, the just to so at the Free Reaper site, Swamp Thing does bring down one, and everyone else dies. We do see Shazam manages to at least take a dozen or so with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember in the first, the second film in the series where he was like one of the main featured characters? That was nice.
I'm not worried about that particularly. I just liked his fake leg.
So I think at least he got a good death.
Yeah.
Whereas like he went out, like Shazam went out on his own terms, and I think that's like one of the only people who did in this film. Yeah. So
I agree.
Mm.
So,
I don't know why, I felt bad for Shazam more than anybody else.
Maybe because he's 10 years old.
Yeah, no, 12 for this point.
12, yeah.
So,
I love that Alan knows that. Like, I'd be like, you could have told me he was like 12.
Well, probably
like
13, 7, 14, actually, but who cares. so, the main team of heroes, which is Captain Boomerang, Bane, Harley, King Shark, Shiva and Cheetah. The only reason I know Shiva and Cheetah are there is because we see them die. We see Bane die as well. But so the attack happens at LexCorp because that's where the portal to Apocalypse is.
And if you're happy and you know it, smash ahead.
Yeah, Harley has a comedy mallet sequence.
Of course she does. I just don't like her.
It was very jarring and I hated it.
Yeah.
That badly amused me, to be honest, so.
It's fine. I know that I'm a bit of an outlier with my dislike for Harley, but I just, I don't know. I didn't need it. I'm like, I was well in for this slightly more serious.
Look, not going to lie, her involvement, like, half a star to a full star out of five dragged the film down for me. It was her involvement, so yes. I'm with you on this one.
And also in the DC AMU, she's not outside the Suicide Squad film, and even then she was a minor character in that.
Mm-hmm.
It is very much just a, well, Harley's the fourth highest selling comic, so we've got to kind of feature her for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same way as they chuck Batman and everything, so.
Also, one other thing that do point out is, working Parademons and humans together doesn't work. The Parademons just eat the people as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so. Don't cover that, cover that, cover that. So it turns out. Oh, so good.
I like Superman's beard. I'll just say.
Oh yeah.
Yes,
beard.
He has good beard game.
Yeah.
So it turns out Lex Luthor is playing both sides. Who could have seen that coming?
It's I thought it was cool that he got something to do in this film.
Yeah.
And that's something that Lex would totally do. He'd be like trying to play both sides and save his own skin. But at the same time, it's like, I think the way they wrote Lex and Rainn Wilson cast as Lex was just a misstep, and he's too comedic to be anything else. So he's just comic relief, basically.
Wait, he was Dwight?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, surely you could have got Clancy Brown again.
That would have been cool.
I liked, was it James Marsden? He was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always
think him. Yeah.
I think he's been hard done by in terms of superhero career.
Yeah.
He's got a big head and he played Brainiac, so it makes sense.
So
I suppose now that you mentioned that is Dwight, like, and you mentioned the comedic things, it was that one line he says like in a couple of minutes time where, sorry for jumping ahead, but when Batman susses out that Lex Luger's a wrestler. When Lex Luthor is playing for their side, and he turns around and goes, well, I guess I'm all on your side now. And he kind of has that look at his face, like, and it's like, yeah, that was very comedic, and now it makes sense why.
So, Lex, because Parademons have Superman DNA, they are weak to kryptonite.
Right.
And Lex has all the kryptonite in the world, it seems.
It was funny seeing Superman in one of Lex's Superman battle suits.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Lois Lane going, oh, yeah, and you try to use all this to kill my husband. And he's just like, meh.
Yeah. So the team of John Constantine, who doesn't know where he's going, but he's going. Etrigan, yeah. Raven, Superman, and Damian go to Apokolips. And meanwhile, we see the Green Lanterns fall. We don't actually see the battle. We just see the last four or five lanterns being killed
off. I'm fine with them shortcutting that because, like, we've already seen a lot of death. You know?
Also, the fact that he's just casually holding Kilowog by the throat when he finds out.
Yeah.
Oh, Apokolips is under attack again. And John Stewart gets liquidized.
He does have a cool death though.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Green Lantern intro. I think it's great.
So our heroes are cut off by the Cyborg Furies, who are Mira, Martian Manhunter, Hawkman, Starfire, and Wonder Woman.
Hawkman. They look pretty gnarly.
They do.
Yes.
Like the design of Mira and I think Martian Manhunter especially look pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah, they are pretty creepy.
Yeah.
And finally, Etrigan has a challenge.
Hooray.
Which subsequently almost immediately kills him.
Yeah, because he was complaining throughout this whole ordeal that there was no real challenge.
It's a miracle he got as much screen time as he did, so, and that he looked as good as he did. Like he was dominant, so I can live with it.
Yeah, and again, it's nice to see someone who isn't generally featured actually featured.
Yes.
Constantine is then able to get hold of the Lasso of Truth to turn Wonder Woman back to the good guys.
Thought that was clever.
And then it's Wonder Woman ends up fighting the rest of the Furies to hold them off whilst our team goes into the main chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Darkseid and his scary chair that he likes sitting on.
Yep. Yeah. And King Shark is a shark.
Hmm.
It turns
that scary chair.
It turns out, because the whole plan is, oh, we're going to blow the main reactor. And then it turns out the main reactor is the Flash.
Which is, this made me laugh. Because he looks so little. And he's just, like, scurrying away like a little hamster. And, like, I don't feel any great, like, love for him. I don't feel any great hate for him either. But the size just made me just laugh. It was just like, I don't know why. He was just so tiny. And I don't understand why he was so tiny, but it just made me.
It was perspective, I think. Mm-hmm.
That first shot of him, I was just it's so little.
That was the same thing I thought as well. It was just like, oh, look at the little hamster boy. Yeah. Right, little hamster boy.
And then you see, like, how tired and how, like, damaged he is from it. And even then, I just keep going, oh, but he's in his little run.
It's a bit, awesome. It's good. I mean, I have to say, I do think, one, I'm kind of sad Christopher Gorham didn't get to do Flash and Flashpoint because I think he actually would have.
I like him a lot.
He would have been a better Flash.
Hmm.
And two, it's a shame Flash never, beyond Justice League Doom, he never really, both he and Green Lantern, any of the Green Lanterns didn't really get a shake. But we did have like 5 Batman movies.
I mean, like, the Trinity before they sort of forced it into Wonder Woman, because that's a marketing thing. The Trinity used to be, it was Superman, Batman, and it was either the Flash, Green Lantern, or Aquaman. For the life of me, I can't remember which one it was. But, you know, they were, like, top dog A-listers, and now they've definitely fallen to the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the Flash is just, right now, the past 2 Flash films we've gotten have just been used to reboot stuff. Like, he's like a tool.
Yeah.
So,
don't call it that.
I mean, to be, well, I'm actually going to see The Flash today, so I'm probably one of, well, it doesn't seem that many people are, so I don't feel guilty about it.
That's the thing, like, when they pull the Flash out of this running mechanism, and then he's got this, like, giant, like, thing sticking out his head, and then Superman just walks up and just pulls it out. It's like, what if that was attached to his skull or his brain or something, and he just pulls it out, and he's just, his skeleton just comes out with it?
I thought that too, yeah.
So, meanwhile, Bane and Black Manta are killed. Black Manta gets the same fate as Aquaman. Also, it appears that Trigon's starting to side with Raven a little bit. I don't know how much of that is, oh, no, use your power, it frees me, and how much of it is, no, I don't like dark side power.
Yeah. Well, and there's also part of it where they kind of hinted it with a couple of lines that Trigon cares about Raven. I'm not sure how accurate that actually is.
I think they always go a bit back and forth on it, don't they?
Yeah, but in this film, it seems like he does a bit. So.
Yeah, that's what I got from it, is like she's been kind of weakened and everything and throughout all of this, and so he's trying to come out to protect her.
Yep.
Mm.
So, yes, but he's also the one that weakened her. But so, Cyborg's in the central chamber. Constantine is able to debug Cyborg, which also frees the Furies as well. The one who can't be freed is Cyborg himself, because he's physically integrated into Apocalypse now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Darkseid and Batman arrive. And Darkseid doesn't need to fight, because he's got Batman to do it for him.
Yeah. It's foolish. Like, have a proper backup. Like, this is where these people always go wrong.
And Batman and Damian fight. Batman is just about to kill Damian when we finally get the alley. 16 minutes in.
I was like so mad. I actually like really wanted to get angry at that point. I was like, I know we don't need this. I want to get back to the action.
That's the
I know
only
what
thing
happened
that can...
in that stupid alley.
That's the only thing that can break Batman's programming is, oh, my parents, Crime Alley, oh.
But hey, at least it means that Batman stabs Darkseid in the eye.
Yeah.
Both these films, that Darkseid's in, he gets stabbed in the eye. It's his poor eyes.
Yeah, I guess he kind of needs to, because his Omega beams are busted. Like, they'll one-shot anyone, basically. So
speaking of, Damien gets Omega beam blasted.
Yeah, but I also want to say Darkseid was a lot bigger in Justice League War.
Yeah, he's massive.
He's had a little diet.
So I think they should have kept him like the same size, but you know.
So Constantine is desperate enough that he figures, right, okay, releases Trigon and offers himself as a host. Trigon goes, lol, nope.
It's the best. It is the best.
Yeah, he literally says, I have a better
idea. Super Trigon!
It's so good. It's such a good flex. It's like, oh, you give me a good idea. I don't have to do Raven. Let me see. Who should I pick? The Smoker or Superman?
The turbocharged Kryptonian.
Yeah, like...
It's just the way it just literally goes, well, how about this? And just goes, yeah.
So,
and then plus the flame Superman,
that's so good. Like, I want more excuses.
The flame
for that
cape
to show
was
up.
Pretty awesome. Yeah,
the flame like a cape was amazing.
Judas Priest album cover.
I went proper edgy teenage boy when I saw it. I was like, I want to see that Superman more.
Yeah. So Super Trigon fights Darkseid. We get Robin saying goodbye to his father because Robin's definitely dead. Also, Constantine is definitely dead. And Lex is definitely dead. And King Shark is a shark, and it's an honor to fight by their side.
Did you mention that Super Trigon murders Constantine as well?
Yeah.
Constantine?
Just that mistake, yeah.
We should mention that.
We should mention that.
When that happened, I was just like, wait, what?
Yeah, that was an unnecessary one. But, you know, happens. Yeah.
It ends up making sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Superman then Batman is then able to stream Lois's death to Superman, which helps Superman overcome Trigon.
Okay.
And the way you phrased that was so weird.
And yet it's true.
Somehow this magically makes the Superman suit appear.
Yeah, that was odd. That was.
But if we're good, like in the comics, that New 52 suit is like a sort of like bonded to him, so he can do that. But in the film, they never like establish that at all. And also, I mentioned like, oh, his beard's gone.
Yeah,
yeah. So, he just had a quick shave in the you know.
So
yeah, but it was
no time for beards.
It was cool to see him though, because like, I mean, obviously he had no powers for like. Mm-hmm. Almost the whole film, so it was cool to see him with powers back.
So Superman and Darkseid start fighting, Trigon's trapped in a bubble, and Constantine is in heaven and is visited by Zatanna.
Oh, she's lovely.
Oh.
And yeah, so it is revealed, no, the reason you ran is because I made you run. Because Batman asked me to.
Yeah.
It was a spell the whole time.
Which Batman
does. Contingency plan.
I still think Constantine would have done it. Constantine would have done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. We then.
Well, I was going to do it anyway.
At the same time, Raven confesses her love to Robin, and we get two resurrections for the price of one.
Yay.
Both Constantine and Robin heal up. Including Robin's suit somehow.
You know, Raven's actually makes sense, and then transition to her white costume is nice, but it was still super cheesy.
Yeah.
It really was.
Like, yeah, I would have preferred get rid of the tear healing him and just have her, like, resurrect him herself. I don't know. Yeah. Just.
The amount of times I've seen people cry and onto things and then they all of a sudden come back to life, but when I try that, I'm just like crying over like some dead flowers, and it's just not working. So, come back, flower, come back.
So, as if this ending is not overblown enough, Constantine goes, "Let's just give Trigon his body back."
Yeah.
Because, and it works, because what the, so they go, right, we need to, Cyborg will cause Apocalypse to self-destruct, destroy the Parademons, whatever, but we need to save Superman, and their solution is, well, we'll release Trigon, because Trigon wants to fight Darkseid more than he wants to kill us.
I mean, fair.
So.
Yeah, some. Weird beef with the old gods.
We do
the
get
new
this
gods,
awesome
sorry.
Moment where Trigon's going, "No, Superman, get out of the way. This is my fight."
Yeah, unless you want me to fight you for who gets to then go on to fight.
And
yeah, so that was a kind of good line. So it was like giving him the out.
We do get this nice little moment towards the end where, as everyone's escaping, Raven holds back, and Trigon goes, "Thanks for this."
Yeah, it was nice.
And it is genuinely a moment that's like, oh, Trigon wasn't so bad after all.
Happy Father's Day.
Yes! Yeah. I want this on Father's Day.
That's funny.
So, Apocalypse is destroyed. Trigon makes sure Darkseid falls with them.
Of course.
And happy ending, except it's not, because a third of the core of the Earth is destroyed. By Batman's estimate, at least 1 billion people will die.
That's all right. We've got like 6 billion more.
I mean, like, they killed a lot of
people. But it's better than everyone.
Film, and it, yeah, I mean, it, I guess. Yeah, it is.
I mean, they still won.
There'll be a lot of trauma, but yes, they won.
And at this point, Constantine, who's found out, though, the Flashpoint is completely real. And he then sends off, he goes to Flash, you know what you have to do.
Yeah. Flash. Go back, do also, it again.
Also, in this scene, Hawkboy is there. Yeah, that's what I said. And he's in the, He's still in his trade jacket, but all of a sudden just looks normal. Like, was that, like, what's going on there?
Don't really know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
A wizard.
I didn't even notice it, but, like, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. I think, because that's Nightwing you're talking about. I think Starfire got him.
Nightwing, yeah. Sorry.
Right.
Oh, I thought, right, actual Hortman. Yeah, yeah. Maybe Starfire.
Because they're lovey-dovey, so.
So, the film ends with the DCNU looking at the sky as it turns white, and that's the end. No post-credit scene.
We were waiting for one as well. I'm normally caught out by them, but this time me and Connor waited, and
there isn't one. Yeah, that was Apocalypse War. Any thoughts on the ending?
Yes. Have thoughts on it. So I the first time I watched this, it really left a bad taste in my mouth. And the second time I watched it, it left a bad taste in my mouth, but not as bad. So, like, you don't have to destroy this universe to do the next set of films. You just don't have to do it. It's not necessary. And so you made this emotional struggle that we were on for the past hour and a half completely worthless because, it's just going to be, we're going to hit reset anyway.
Yeah.
So that's my one thought about it. And the other thought is they might be calling back Flight of the Gods, which is the end of that story, as everything's gone to hell. So Constantine changes time and resets everything. But the difference with that is Constantine's looking for the trigger. Like, what can he change to make it so the future doesn't happen? And what he does change is he never meets the love of his life and he continues being miserable and alone. So the way they originally met is like he offered her a cigarette and they hooked up that way. But this time he said, "I don't smoke." And the story ended there. And it was, you know, nice, but because he saved the universe, but it was sad because he was never happy. So maybe if they did a bit of that with Zatanna, if they emphasized like John would have to sacrifice his life with Zatanna to sort of give the universe another chance. And the other thing is, like, the world wasn't destroyed. Like, about a billion people would have died, which is really bad, but, like, it was not... Is it really worth resetting everything? Because it could be worse. Mm-hmm. They could have lost. So... But the main thing is, like, you just tried to erase 16 films. Like, it just doesn't sit right with me. Could have just ended it normally.
I mean, it is a shame, because it's... I have to say... Out of all the kind of attempts of a universe that have existed since 2008, I actually think this is... Now, don't get me wrong. This... The DCAMU is completely bat-bleep-insane. There are so many bits of the series that are just like, wow, okay, that's an interesting way to go.
Yeah. I think that's always going to happen, though.
But, yeah, I agree that the kind of idea of, right, okay, we've just had this horrible, terrible struggle, let's just reset history.
It's
almost as bad as, it was all a dream.
Yeah.
That's the thing, even Superman's last lines in the film were like, you know, let's not give up, guys, you know, we can still...
Exactly.
And, like, he just lost Lois Lane as well, and then they're like, lol, reset, so...
Mm-hmm.
Like, people aren't that stupid. And, like, I think people are pretty dumb. But people aren't so dumb that they're going to watch the next animated film. They're not going to watch Man of Tomorrow and be super confused. They're just going to be like, oh, it's a new standalone Superman film.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Also, at least there is a clean break with this, which is not happening elsewhere in DC. No.
This is, like, the kind of logic of that is, like, oh, if they reset everything, then would that not just mean that... You know, like, Doomsday and all that would just come back. Like, there would just be back there again in Apocalypse. Well, that's the idea.
So basically, there's a new series of films that's ongoing right now. The next film's coming out later this year, which is Justice League War World.
Okay.
So the next series, I think it's called the Tomorrowverse, and it's stuff
which
like...
Which hasn't been stellar so far, to be honest.
Yeah, I've heard that. I'll get to find out a lot more, a lot sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah. So before we get into the Tomorrowverse, because we are, that will be the episode after the next one. And the next episode we've got coming up is actually not a film that exists, but because there are two other films that do similar things, I've decided to create this one. So there was the DC Showcase box set that came out a few years ago. That featured the kind of four or five mini films featuring lesser seen heroes. There's then a second series that does that, which is tied to Constantine mini film. However, there isn't anything that that compilates Catwoman, Sergeant Rock, Death, the Phantom Stranger, and Adam Strange getting showcased, so we're going to do that next time.
Editor's note: there is a film that has a compilation of these films attached. That film is Batman Death in the Family, which, as it is itself a multiple choice film, we're doing as a separate episode. So the showcase episode will still carry on as planned.
Mm.
Cool.
Meanwhile, so Rebecca, have you played on any other shows recently?
I've done a Moonlight Into the Night podcast, and very soon to do a Immortal Iron Fist, so that will probably be up by the time this is out.
Excellent. Connor, as we've kind of mentioned before, you do run a few other podcasts. What have you got coming up with them?
On Iron Fist, we're just in the 90s covering Heroes for Hire, and on Superman, we just did Last Sun with Krypton Report, and we're doing Brainiac as a follow-up next week. And that's on Last Sons of Krypton. So, yeah.
And Grizz, you're on another show, I think. I don't know. It's... I can't remember.
Yeah, it's just a little known show where we go through robot combat history. You know, you may have heard of it. It's called Rise of the Robots. We just recently finished Season 5 of Robot Wars, the final. We aired last week, and now we have just started the final season of Comedy Central's BattleBots. So if you like to take a little stroll back into your childhood and fill your boots with some robot combat, we got you covered.
Yep. It's great, because it means I don't have to plug the show.
Mm.
So yeah, we will be back in 2 weeks' time with another DC Showcase. Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.